All right, you're asking me about that song Engine 49 by the Lewiston Cotton Boll Weevil Band? Sure, I know it. That's an old song, originated right here in this part of the country. I'm the man that taught it to Luke the Boll Weevil's bass player, actually. A lot of folks who heard it wondered what that one particular line is in reference of. See, there's not many alive now to know the story of Moe Fisher. Among railroad men, he used to be a legend in these parts. He was captain of the Caroline. That was the last Robinson locomotive to run on the Northern Line. Now, way back in the old days, back even before coal, Nathaniel Robinson invented a narrow-gauge, low-clearance, short-wheelbase engine for use in mountainous areas, where the lie of the land required steep grades and sharp turns. It burnt wood, which means it smelled better, and it got dirty in a different way from coal, but it is just as heavy and noisy, and a sight less efficient, too. Coal, see, has a higher heat output to weight ratio, so you can carry less fuel. That's why it won out in the end. Problem is, you can't just throw coal into a wood furnace. Burn properties are all different. You wind up wrecking the engine by melting the furnace, you bust the boiler. If you're lucky, the vents will stick open. You just won't ever get enough heat to steam. You'd be stuck there shoveling coal onto the track underneath you, wondering why you're not moving. Takes a lot of figuring to refit a wood-burning engine for coal. The company decided it is cheaper just to wait till they broke down and replace them all with new engines. Them Robinson machines were beautiful, though, all shiny brass and steel. Folks were sorry to see them go. Some of the older railroad men swore by them, said they were safer, more reliable. Wouldn't trust their lives to a coal engine up on the mountain, because coal comes out of the mountain, see. It's unnatural, unlucky. Old Jack, the spirit of the mountain, he resents it, see. He'll try to knock you off while you're making the high run. Those old fellows are very superstitious. Now, Moe Fisher had captained the Caroline since before anybody could remember. He kept her spick and span. Word was going around at one point he'd bought her from the company and was running her on his own, but I don't know about that. It was never company policy to allow private operators on their lines. All the equipment from the engine and the cars down to your watch and the wrench in your mechanic's pocket all belonged to the Northern Rail Company. It is true, though, they let Moe take over maintenance for the Caroline. He had his own shop gang. Every time a Robinson was decommissioned, they'd be down at the company yard stripping it for parts. Nobody else was allowed to do that. Well, turns out, after a while, all the old Robinsons were replaced, and the Caroline was the only one still running. But now, I think I need to tell you about Martin's Gate. It's not a town or anything. It's not even a siding, although there was a mail relay there for a while. You won't find it listed on any map. It used to be marked on the railroad charts. Just a spot, just a place on the tracks. It marks the bottom end of the Wax Knob Run. It seems like a gateway because the scenery is completely different on either side of it. Uphill from the gate, the woods are thick and dark. The track is steep. There's not much clearance on either side of the train. Everything's real close. Then you pass the gate. Suddenly the valley opens up on either side of you. It's all sunny and level, big old fields stretching out. It's almost like going through a doorway from one world to another. All the farmland at that end of the valley used to belong to a fellow by the name of Martin, so they started calling it Martin's Gate. Somebody even put up a bunch of fake switches to mark the spot. They look real. They're connected to the line and all, just like regular switches, but they don't do anything. There's no other tracks there to switch to. Besides, when do you ever see three switches just bang, 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 all in a row like that? Well, you don't. You don't ever see it, except for right there, a half mile on either side of Martin's Gate. Whoever put them there did it to let folks know that the gate was just ahead. Now, those three switches, they were known as the railman's rosary, because seeing them reminded you that it was time to pray. If you were coming down, it's time to pray your thanks for another safe run. And if you're headed up, then it's time to ask the Lord's protection for yourself and your crew. Passing through the gate was either a blessing or a curse, depending on your direction, because it's the end or the beginning of 53 miles of the most dangerous track in the state. Nowadays, you can take the tunnel and get to Pruitt in about 15 minutes without even breaking a sweat. But back in, the only way there was to go up and around and over Wax Knob. Took 2 or 3 hours going up, even longer coming down if your nerves weren't good. There was a steep grade. It went up, up, and up, and up, and then suddenly down, and then up again. There's rickety old trestles I swear hadn't been inspected since the Civil War, and there was these sharp switchbacks seemed to defy all logic. You're climbing a mountain, you're clinging to the rails, you're stuck on the mountainside with nothing but rock on one side and air on the other. You expect the route to conform to the shape of the mountain, because you're zigzagging up the side of it. You just turn right, you expect your next turn will be to the left, but it's not. The mountain's on the wrong side of you somehow, you're not sure which direction you're going. I made that run hundreds of times, and there were still always a couple of turns that surprised me. It's a weird sensation, because you know that there's no possible way you could have got turned around. And you're probably thinking, now, so what about them curves? You don't steer a train, it just follows the tracks, right? That's only half right. Standard gauge trains don't need much finesse to handle. They just go where the track leads them, usually. That's because the track's carefully laid out to suit the train's abilities. With all kinds of technical things about pitch and momentum and arc radius I only partway understand. But what it all adds up to is the routes are carefully calculated so all the turns are shallow and easy. All the captain has to do is watch his speed. The train will steer itself. But on a narrow gauge mountain track, there's no room to build long, gentle curves and low grades. You can get away with only as much as the mountain will let you. Sometimes you have to turn tighter than the train wants to on its own. The captain and the brakeman have got to be on their toes. You got to keep an even speed. You brake or accelerate too quick and the wheels will slip, causing you to lose traction. And you lose traction, you lose control. You start sliding downhill. You take a turn too fast, you're liable to derail and go flying off into a canyon. You're coming up on a sharp curve, you got to brake on the inside of the turn and then let up once you're out of it. Every car has to do this as it goes through the turn, so everybody has to stay alert. The Wax Knob run was particularly bad because it was steep, it was long, it was unpredictable. About halfway down, your brakeman would be on the verge of tears because they could smell that hot steel smell and see too many sparks under the car, and they were sure the brake bars were going to twist off any second. They couldn't tell what was coming next, and the train's already going too fast. After another hour of this, you know, the train is screaming down the hill. Your brakemen are telling you, we can't stop because the pads are worn out. They're as thin as dimes, and you've just about given up the idea of making it home alive, and then whoop. And three switches blink past, looking more like just half of one because of your speed. And then everybody lets up a shout because Martin's Gate just up ahead. And you come shooting out of it into the valley, let the train coast all the way to Rockford. You promise yourself you never run up Wax Knob again. Then 3 days later, you plumb forgot how scary it was. And you're chugging through the gate again on your way up to Pruitt. Now,